Chapter 5. Carmen was a ball of nervous energy at my side as we followed the guy to Renee's office. And for the 100th time, I remembered how much I'd missed her when I'd been on tour. It was a strange thing to miss, the fact that she could never seem to stay still very long. But I'd missed it. I'd always been the calmer one, the more rational one. And she'd always been the one to act on her impulses. That wasn't to say I could never be silly and she could never be sensible, but it was less common. I was the disciplined one who'd joined the army. She was the boisterous one who'd become a mechanic and wasn't afraid to throw wrenches at assholes. I thought we made a pretty good pair. Our guide came to a stop before the familiar eye-marked double doors and waved a hand to usher us forward. The doors opened to reveal Renee sitting at her desk, with her fingers steepled and her expression once again severe.
"Leo,"
she said when we walked in.
"Carmen, did you sleep well?"
Pretty well, I answered and bobbed my head in a nod. I reckoned Renee had about as much interest in pointless pleasantries as I did.
"So, what's the verdict?"
Carmen asked as she took one of the seats in front of Renee's desk. My sister twisted her hands together in her lap because, well, she was never still. But she was especially never still when she was tense. Renee looked first at her, then at me, and I saw the answer in her eyes before she'd even opened her mouth.
"The council has ruled you two will not be permitted to join the order at this time. Given that you are not only entirely untrained, but know next to nothing about the magical world, it was argued that allowing you to join would be negligent at best." "What? But it was not my decision."
Renee interrupted as she raised a hand, and my sister fell silent.
"I am only one vote on the council. I voted in favor of your joining, as you clearly want to do real good, but I'm beholden to the majority."
I supposed I couldn't really hold it against Renee for adhering to the democratic process, but I couldn't deny I was annoyed and disappointed. It maybe sounded a little ridiculous since it had only been a day, but this place felt right. Kyla and Keegan and Asami felt right. The idea of living my life in this world felt right, more than the prospect of job hunting back in L.A. with Carmen, more than doing another tour in God knows where, doing God knows what. When my parents had died and Carmen and I had been put into foster care, we'd lost a part of ourselves, a part of our history. All the stories and traditions they would have told Carmen and I as we got older had just gone, burned up with them. It had been an entire piece of our identities, and it was gone. This was like that. It was the knowledge that I was looking at something that was a part of me, and yet I was being denied it. Because I didn't know about this world, I was being turned away from it, even though I was willing to learn. "I'm not demanding you put us on a mission today, but can't we train? Can't we learn?" Kyla said most eyes only join up at 18, like the army. "We're only 25.
"It's not so simple,"
Renee said, and shook her head.
"It's the fact that you two don't know about the magical world at all. It would be as if I sent you to China and told you to get a job and make a life there. You don't speak the language, you don't know the social customs. Only the price of making a mistake as an eye is usually your life, not just a few funny looks. People immigrate. People are separated from their parents' culture. That doesn't mean they can't try to bridge the gap. No one is saying you cannot try. You two are more than welcome, encouraged even, to learn about the magical world, to find the spaces where magicals exist, but the council has ruled that we cannot put you on the front lines of a war when you don't even know what you're fighting. So teach us!"
Carmen exclaimed, and she threw up her hands in exasperation. "Carmen," I said, and she turned to me with her eyes going wide with something like betrayal. But we were just going around in circles, and yelling wouldn't help anyone. "They made the decision."
"I'm sorry,"
Renee said to me.
"But we have. With this in mind, I need to ask you both to leave the sanctuary."
"Oh, you're kicking us out?" I asked, and my own temper flared.
"I do not make the rules."
Renee met my gaze grimly.
"And in many instances, I do not agree with them. But these ones are in place for your own safety, and I have no desire to put either of you at risk by being lax."
She waved a hand, and the doors behind us creaked open. Carmen stood up from her seat so quickly it was like she'd been propelled from it. And without saying anything to Renee or even offering a goodbye, she turned on her heels and stalked out of the office. I caught up to her just outside the doors and reached out to catch her sleeve.
Whatever you're going to say, I don't want to hear it,
she said bitterly and pulled her sleeve from my grasp. But she didn't stop and turned to look at me. Hey, we can't change her decision. And it sucks. It really fucking sucks. We're getting denied the chance to figure this shit out.
Thank you for closed captioning my frustrations, Leo.
Carmen grumbled as she folded her arms and glared at me. But I knew that glare, just like I knew the tears sparkling in the corners of her eyes. Some part of me wanted to smile at her fondly. My firecracker twin sister, she felt everything so deeply, even if she tried to hide it. But we don't need the order. Renee isn't kicking us out of this world. She's just saying we can't join up. And, oh, maybe that's not such a bad thing right now. Carmen looked at me with a mixture of shock and vague disgust.
Don't tell me you're becoming responsible,
she said in a scandalized tone, and I rolled my eyes at her. This place is a soldier's training facility. I literally just left one of those. I don't know if I want to spend the next years of my life taking orders when I left the army because I got sick of precisely that. We can still learn about this world without being eyes. We can still be friends with the Campbells and Asami. But we'll do it on our terms. Without any stupid rules, regulations, or stuffy council members breathing down our necks and determining our worth. Carmen looked at me like she wanted to be mad. Like she wanted to disagree with me for the sake of getting into an argument, so she could vent her frustrations. But instead she just pouted.
I fucking hate it when you're responsible.
I know. I smirked. Let's go, monkey. We made our way back to the dining hall to find Kyla and Asami, but instead we found it was mostly empty, and most people had already left to begin their days. Kyla was still there, though. She hadn't moved from where we'd left her, and she was still picking disinterestedly at her plate.
Hey,
Carmen said gently as she slid onto the seat next to Kyla.
Where'd everyone go? Stuff to do?
Kyla said with a shrug.
Actual jobs to go on?
She dropped her fork to wipe at her eyes, and when she raised her head, I saw she'd plastered on a big smile. It looked painfully fake. It was heartbreaking.
How'd your meeting with Renee go? Can you join?
Kyla, I said with a frown. You don't have to...
No, I want to know.
She insisted, but when I raised my eyebrows at her meaningfully, she let the fake smile slide off her face.
Sorry, I don't want you two worrying about me when you've just had your entire world upended. We'll deal with it. It's not the first time we've had to adjust to a big change, and since you asked, the council said no. They think it would be too dangerous since we didn't grow up in the magical world. We'd make a social faux pas and die or something.
That's not quite how she phrased it, I told Kyla as I shot my sister a withering look. But yeah, we can't be eyes. Though from what I've seen, as cool as this place is, it might not be the perfect fit for us anyway.
Does that mean you're leaving?
Kyla asked, and her green eyes were enormous and shiny with unshed tears. I wondered if fairies had different colored eyes than humans. Kyla's pointed ears were presumably the result of her fey blood, but no person I'd ever met before had such dazzlingly green eyes. Technically, yes. We have to. I guess this place is eyes only.
Authorized personnel only. It's partly a safety thing. There's a lot of dangerous stuff here, and not just the weapons. The books in the library contain instructions for very complex spells.
Yeah, well, that I understand. But I don't see why it means we have to leave altogether. Can't there just be restricted areas?
Some of the council members are purists.
Kyla answered as her mouth twisted.
They think being an eye should be treated with more reverence, like how medieval English knights all had to be noblemen, not commoners. I'd hoped they would perhaps see past their prejudices, given the state of things, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Her last statement seemed very vague and ominous, but before I could ask any questions, my sister scoffed.
Oh, so we're just the lowly peasants,
Carmen said, and she rolled her eyes before she looked at me.
Maybe we dodged a bullet. There's one council member in particular,
Kyla said with a nod.
Samuel White. He thinks the order should be human only, and more specifically, humans raised in the magical world only. Most eyes are, but there are some, like Keegan and me, who are part fae, or humans who got turned into vampires or werewolves, but decided to remain members.
Sounds like a dick. I'd never met this guy, but I was already sure he'd voted against us. Kyla giggled, but then raised a hand to her mouth to try and hide it. I grinned at her, and was relieved she was in slightly better spirits. If it had been Carmen in the infirmary, with a complication on an already pretty serious wound, I couldn't imagine I would have been any better. Something came to my mind just then. Kyla, when Keegan said he couldn't go to a hospital, and then you said healing magic works differently on your guys, is it because you're half fae? She nodded.
Also, I can't imagine you guys have health insurance,
Carmen said, but then she frowned.
Wait, do you guys have insurance or social security or anything like that? Well, I would imagine so. Our father is human. We have birth certificates and all of that.
Is? Well, he's still alive? Where is he? Is he an I too? The look on Kyla's face was all the answer I needed to know that the matter was best left alone. So I decided to change tack. I think I need a drink.
That's the best idea you've had all day,
Carmen said, and pointed at me approvingly. She then turned to Kyla.
And you need one too. Doctor's orders.
You're not a doctor.
Fine. Mechanic's orders. But my point stands. Come on, Kyla. You can show us all the cool supernatural bars.
Kyla seemed a little hesitant, and until she spoke, I wasn't sure if it was because she was reluctant to leave the sanctuary given the state Keegan was in, or because it wasn't even noon.
It's a bit early, don't you think? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Carmen shrugged.
And you need to pick me up. Where did Asami go? She can come too. Oh, I don't want to bother Sami,
Kyla said, and she was clearly going to protest further, but I held up a hand. Hey, we can just offer. She doesn't have to come. But I think we could all use a distraction, and if Asami doesn't mind, I'd like to pick her brain to learn a little more about this world I'm apparently woefully ignorant of. Kyla gave a small smile at that.
Sami does love explaining things. She'd be a great history teacher.
There was a part of me, bigger and pettier than I cared to admit, that wanted to become an expert in this world. Wanted to learn every bit of history and every creature's strengths and weaknesses. Wanted to show the Samuel Whites of the magical world that just because Carmen and I were starting a little later than everyone else, it didn't make us any less competent. And we would show those purists. We would show everyone. Privately, I thought if my history teachers had looked anything like Asami, or Kyla for that matter, I might have actually gotten a decent grade in history. Well, or maybe I would have completely flunked. Regardless, we went to the library and found Asami, with her pierced nose, buried in a book written in ancient Greek. I wasn't sure if it was because she was genuinely eager for a break or because Kyla was obviously in low spirits, but she readily agreed to join us. And she and Kyla led Carmen and I out of the sanctuary's front doors and out onto the streets of Denver.
I told you!
Carmen laughed and grinned at me.
Colorado.
You did, I said, and well, I couldn't quite stop my voice from sounding like an indulgent parent's. So, you want to try the skiing first or the legalized pot?
I want to try the alcohol,
she answered and turned to Kyla and Asami.
Where's a good magic bar? There's a bar called The Goblet, about a 10 minutes walk that way,
Asami suggested as she pointed down the street. I shrugged, and Carmen shrugged, and the four of us began to walk. I'd never been to Colorado before, but it seemed nice. It was cooler than L.A., obviously, and it felt less crowded. It was a little weird, really, that I'd spent so much time overseas with the army, but had done almost no domestic travel. Which reminded me of something. Hey, Kyla, I said, and she turned to look at me. There are other people in the sanctuary who can do mirror magic, right?
Not that I know of,
she answered with an apologetic look.
It's a pretty rare skill. Honestly, it's mostly a fae skill, like light magic.
Shit, I muttered and turned to Carmen. How are we supposed to get home?
Shit, you're right. Ugh. We'll figure something out.
The horrifying prospect of traveling 1,000 miles by bus began to loom over us. Yeah, now I really need a drink. This day was not going in any way how I'd expected it to. And that was saying a lot because I had almost no expectations.
We can figure something out. But in the meantime, I agree. A drink and a moment to decompress would do us all some good.
A few minutes later, we arrived at a bar with a large neon sign of a goblet filled with red liquid I suspected was not meant to represent wine. When I glanced around at the other people walking down the street, I took note of how none of them seemed to be looking at the building. Their eyes just slid from the fish and chips shop on one side to the organic grocery store on the other, like they couldn't even see it.
A glamour spell,
Kyla said when she saw me watching him.
Not strong enough to make it completely invisible, just enough that they won't pay proper attention to it.
More like forced habituation? I asked, and I thought of what Asami had said about Carmen and I being more sensitive to auras.
Yeah, actually. That's not a bad way to think about it.
Kyla told me with a smile. I smiled back and wondered for a moment if she had some kind of special fairy charm or something, because I didn't often smile so broadly, unless it was at Carmen, but I was closer to her than anyone else. Yet with Kyla it was easy. Inside, the goblet was all the dark hardwood and leather upholstery to be expected from a mid-tier bar that had learned to combine easy-to-clean materials with actual style. We ordered drinks, at which point I noticed that alongside beer, there were taps for A-positive and B-negative and O-positive. And then Asami led us to a booth in one corner and we sat down. Kyla took the seat against the wall, with me on her right. Asami sat opposite her and Carmen sat opposite me. The place was definitely not full, but it was also far from being empty. Even for a Saturday, that seemed a little weird, and I said as much to Asami. Hey, how come there are so many people here? It's like lunchtime.
A lot of magicals are partially nocturnal,
she said with a shrug.
Vampires especially, but also werewolves and some fae. Those that have human jobs often work late nights and sleep until the early afternoon. Her ex was a werewolf,
Kyla told me matter-of-factly, with the air of disclosing an amusing secret.
That's not the point,
Asami said quickly, as her cheeks turned pink, and Carmen and I both laughed.
What's dating a werewolf like?
Carmen asked as she leaned forward with a glint in her dark eyes.
Are they all hairy? Do they really like biting? Oh, no, nothing like that. Lyalva's a little rough around the edges, but nothing weird.
I could tell from the way Carmen was grinning that she already had a list of inappropriate questions a mile long, so I jumped in before the conversation went off the rails completely. How many of the people in here are human seers? Because I can see their auras, but I can't pick out the different kinds yet.
You can pick out different kinds?
Carmen asked, and her eyes widened with curiosity.
If you practice, but I'd imagine it would be a little easier for you guys because you're already more sensitive to it. Can you see the difference between me and Asami, Leo?
I frowned at the silver tendrils wrapped around both of them. There were some differences, maybe, but that just seemed to be random fluctuations in the line's shape as they floated in the air like strings of gossamer. I don't think so. I shook my head.
Practice. And to answer your question, no. We're the only seers in here right now.
Really? I asked, and I glanced around the bar again as I took a sip of my beer. It wasn't bad. Are the seers all at their day jobs or something?
Maybe. But there also just aren't that many adult seers. Huh? Wow. You guys really don't know anything about the magical world.
If anyone else had said that, I might have been offended. But the way she said it, with utter fascination and not a hint of judgment, it amused me more than anything. So why aren't there many adult seers? Does it get less common as you get older?
No, it's just becoming less common in general,
Kyla answered, and she set down her glass and spread her hands over the table like she was about to demonstrate something.
The magical world is hidden from the human world by the veil. The second sight is the ability to see past the veil, but the veil itself is not a natural construct. It was put up a couple hundred years ago, artificially separating humanity from magic. Why? Because it was safer,
Asami answered with a shrug.
Human population and technology began to outweigh the supernatural's magical power, to such a degree that humanity could potentially destroy the entire supernatural world if they felt like it. The two worlds would have destroyed themselves and each other in a terrible war, so the veil was put up, and the Order of the Eye was established. Most seers live fairly separate from the magical world. Some live in the magical world, either as eyes or just alongside other supernaturals. As long as they don't reveal magic to non-seers, they can live however they please.
Okay, but why does that mean there aren't many seers to begin with?
Because magic has been separated from humanity for too long.
Asami sighed and fiddled with her nose stud.
Magic is becoming less and less common in humans. Seers are becoming rarer and rarer. Some have mental breaks because their minds can't reconcile the two overlapping worlds. Yikes.
Carmen grimaced.
Yikes is right.
Kyla said with a nod.
Some people reckon interacting with the supernatural world too much is what causes these breaks. I think it probably doesn't help the issue, but I'm not a researcher.
She looked over at Asami, who cocked her head thoughtfully.
My expertise is in languages, less so in magical theory. But I mean, if you're being fed two conflicting streams of information from two worlds, one saying magic is real, the other one saying it isn't, the mental strain could be pretty massive. That could definitely cause some problems. Not many supernaturals have long-standing relationships with non-seers. Even friendships become difficult after a time.
I frowned and thought of my friends and of Carmen's. Roy had just had his surgery and was excited for beach season. Madeline was getting married at the end of the year, and Natasha was due to give birth not too long after. I wanted to be around to help them celebrate, to support them, to be a part of their lives. When it came down to the core of it, Carmen was the only one I really needed, but that didn't mean I didn't give a shit about anyone else. They were still my friends.
Regardless of which side of the fence we end up on, I hope we stay friends with you two. And Keegan. I would like that.
Kyla smiled as Asami nodded.
And I think Keegan would too.
I smiled back, but I could feel it was lackluster. And as I raised my glass to take another drink, I was stunned to find I'd already emptied it. It seemed my concern about my non-seer friends ran deeper than I'd initially realized. Oh, I need another beer. I said, as I got to my feet and shuffled out of the booth and toward the bar. As I waited to be served, I noticed at the far end of the bar, there was a bulletin board of sorts. The kind of thing people looking to sell old motorbikes or to find lost cats would put flyers on. But instead of rusty vehicles and missing pets, these flyers seemed like job listings. I walked over to the board to get a better look. Yep, they were definitely jobs. There was a sum of money written in huge letters along the bottom, plus a vague description of some kind of task that needed doing. But what kind of task would pay out $50,000? I snatched the flyer from the board and went back to the booth to slap it down on the tabletop. "What's this?" I asked Kyla. She peered down at the sheet of paper and then flinched. Asami did the same thing.
"It's a job advertisement for Phoenix."
Kyla sighed as she nervously twisted a strand of hair around her finger. Phoenix? As in, the job that Diane woman was on?
Not her, but her girlfriend.
Asami nodded.
But there's no law saying eyes have to be the ones to respond to supernatural threats. They're just the preferred method because they're highly trained and have access to a lot of resources. But sometimes the Order tries to pawn off jobs they don't want to waste their time on. Usually missing persons. Stuff that won't result in peculiar human deaths.
Wait. I said as I raised my hands and then gestured down to the flyer. We could freelance? And get paid?
Well, you could.
Kyla admitted with a furrowed brow.
But you would almost certainly get killed. The reason people don't take up those jobs is because they're ludicrously dangerous. You've got to be fucking kidding me. The Order won't take Leo and I because we're untrained, but they're perfectly happy to let us do exactly the same work with fewer resources and no proper training on our own. That sounds like a fucking insurance scam. That's because it kind of is.
Asami sighed, and she winced when she said it.
If you're not eyes, it's not the Order's fault if you die. You chose to take the job. And like all capitalist nightmares, it doesn't account for the fact you need money to live, so some people are going to take jobs no matter how dangerous they are.
Carmen scowled and folded her arms.
Bastards. We really did dodge a bullet.
Okay, but on the other hand, why would anyone deal with the Order's bureaucracy if they could do the same jobs and get paid 50 fucking grand to do it? 50 grand was more than I made in a year in the army, and this was for only one job.
Resources. We have weapons, we have the library, and we have genius translators to help us use that library.
She grinned at Asami, who gave a little laugh and blushed again. Well, I suppose you can't collect reward money if you get killed. But what if we don't get killed? Carmen's head shot up to stare at me. She'd been reading the flyer, but now her dark eyes were boring into my skull.
I don't like that look,
she announced and pointed at me.
That's the look on your face you always get right before one of us breaks a bone.
Hey, I'll have you know it's been almost an entire year since I've broken anything, I said haughtily. I'd cracked a rib during my first month on tour. It had been my first sparring match against Tommy, and the only one against him I'd lost. Besides, it's not like either of us have any better job offers lying around. I'd rather do this than customer service.
That's not the point, Leo!
Carmen groaned in exasperation, but I knew the prospect of hunting for jobs horrified her as much as it horrified me.
They wouldn't let us join because we're completely untrained. Even if we do it for money, that doesn't suddenly make us better in a fight.
Come on! How hard can it be? Now, there's literally thousands of books and web pages about supernatural creatures and how to kill or trap them or whatever. We'd be making a real difference, doing some real good.
Not if we die! I just spent a whole year worrying about you getting shot or blown up. Every time I got a letter, I was terrified it was gonna say you'd been killed in action.
Shit, I hadn't really realized that. But, of course she would have worried, just like I had worried about her. Carmen, I said, and gently put my hand on her arm. I'm sorry I worried you. I'm sorry you were freaking out like that. But you still let me get on that plane. You still let me go, because you knew I was doing something I believed in. This would be the same. And I wouldn't be leaving you this time. We'd do it together. She bit her lip and looked uncertain in a way I'd never really seen her look before. My sister had always been so unapologetically sure of herself.
You're the only family I have, Pip. I spent a whole year wondering what it would be like if I lost you. Just the fact that we could only talk over the phone, it almost felt like a trial run for if something did actually happen to you. I hated it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, I admitted. There were several reasons I'd left, and being separated from her had been one of them. But this wouldn't be like that. I wouldn't have joined the Order without you, and I won't do this without you either. But we could make a real difference here. We could help people. And we could see what Mom and Dad's world was like. Carmen glared at me, and I didn't know if it was because I'd gone too far or if I'd won her over. Then she glared down at the flyer and got to her feet. She walked out of the booth to the bulletin board and ripped off another flyer before walking back to us and slapping it down on the table on top of the Phoenix one. I could just make out the $10,000 written across the bottom of the page.
If we do this, we're starting out small. I didn't spend a year worrying about you getting shot halfway around the world just to watch you get torn to pieces in Arizona.
I grinned up at her, and then looked around at Kyla and Asami, who watched my sister and me with intrigued, anticipatory expressions. A plan was forming in my head. Nothing concrete, not yet. Barely more than a concept, an idea. But it was something. And it was something I was confident about. This, more than having Carmen at my side, more than discovering this magical world, felt right. It felt like something had clicked into place, and I was slowly compiling a puzzle. I'd gotten that much closer to revealing the overall image. All right, then, I said as my grin widened. Let's go kill some monsters and get paid.